Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening and open up to Psalm chapter number 23 in the Word of God tonight. Psalm chapter number 23 in the Word of God this evening. And for those of you who are visiting with us tonight, we just want to welcome you to the services. This is our second week that really we are diving into discipleship. Several Sunday nights ago, we gave an introduction of what we're going to be doing on Wednesday nights and taking folks who have just been saved and baptized through the very Word of God. And really, this early stages of Christianity is so vitally important about learning about our Savior, learning about the Word of God. But then also, for those of you who are in this very auditorium that have been saved for many, many years, there is no doubt that we need a great reminder of the core doctrines of God's Word. And I am thankful this evening that we do have a final authority in the Bible. We don't have to flip a coin. We don't have to hope or wish upon the stars. We don't have to, we'll see what happens. No, I am thankful that we have the Word of God that we can go to, and it will lead us, and it will guide us, and it will direct our lives. And so last week, we began to dig into this new series. And so, those of you who are visiting with us, you're here at a perfect time, and we do welcome you to the services. And Psalm chapter number 23, and I'm going to have you just stay seated for the next little bit. Psalm chapter number 23. And let's look here for just a moment at this very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm going to read the entire chapter, but we're really going to concentrate on one verse. So would you please follow along as I read tonight? The Bible says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Please look at verse number 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." For the next couple of moments, I want us to concentrate simply on this thought tonight, and that is understanding God. Understanding God. And as we head into this program, and as you, as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've given your life to God, you are now with someone. You have a cup of coffee, you're sitting there, you've got your material in front of you, and you are going to begin to explain God. We have already seen the explanation of the Word of God that we'll dive in here just as a review just very quickly, but you're going to be taking someone through the Word of God and explaining, okay, let's understand God for a moment. Now, if we lived a life of 1,000 years, we would not really have even that amount of time, or if we lived 1,000 years, we still would not have enough time to explain God. But we can begin to dive in, and we can understand some attributes, and we can begin to understand exactly who God is. And that's where we're going to concentrate our time. We're only going to have one screen up tonight, and that is understanding God. So I'm going to encourage you once again. You don't have to have all the notes. When we go through discipleship, you're going to have the notes in front of you. But for understanding tonight, especially one attribute, we're going to understand about our Savior and understanding God. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, Lord, lead, guide, and direct. Father, at the end of this service, I know that we've got a business meeting, a couple things that we have to go over. And Father, when that sets in my mind, I begin to hurry and try to get through and get people out of good time. But Father, I'm going to ask, Lord, just that we take a deep breath in You for a second. We can pause and we can dive in to who You are and what You've done. Father, help us to walk out of these doors, not looking at the people who need this message, but God, ourselves. Speak to me tonight, Father. May we understand who You are, because You are alive and real, and You work in our lives every day. We love You in Your Son's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. We began to see last week that we must start when somebody is just saved with the Word of God. We started with the Bible and the understanding that it is the Word of God that saves us. If you're saved tonight, would you say amen? So you comprehend that how you have a salvation is not by Cross Point Baptist Church. It's not by religion. It's not by hocus pocus. It's not by relying on a family tree or those who have been saved. It is by the very gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of God. If you believe that Jesus Christ lives today, would you say amen? Okay, that's the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection. The Word of God saves us, but we also saw it's the Word of God that feeds us. We must be in the Bible. If you rely on Wednesday nights for your spiritual food to get you through, friend, I'm going to tell you, you are starving to death. You and I have to be in the Word of God. Why? The Word of God. That's how we communicate with Him. It's how He communicates with us. It's how He speaks to us. It feeds us. But then also, the Word of God cleanses us. I am so thankful, tune in tonight, that we are not the sheriff of everyone else's life. I am so thankful that it is not my job to be the meter in your life of whether you are right with God or not. I am thankful that you and I have a risen Savior that talks to you and I each and every day. And it is by His Word that you and I have that security. And it's by His Word that you and I comprehend the cleansing that it gives your heart and my heart. Now that we have a foundation in the Word of God, let's talk about God for just a moment. God has chosen to reveal Himself today. Okay, you missed it. If you believe God has chosen to reveal Himself, would you say amen? Now, do you really believe that? I mean, do you really believe that God chose to reveal Himself? Now, I'm going to go quickly for just a moment. I want you to tune in. If you miss this, you miss it. But throughout Scripture and throughout different devices and even nature, God has used different methods to reveal Himself to every generation of human beings, going all the way back to the start with Adam and Eve in whom He created. He reveals Himself through His Word. He reveals Himself through creation. He revealed Himself through the sending of His Son, Jesus Christ. He reveals Himself through the witness of the Holy Spirit. And again, we'll have verses for all of these. And this is a great discipleship material of God comprehending. How do you know God exists? How does God reveal Himself to human beings? Does He just sit up there in heaven and wait a couple millennia to come back down and talk to people? Does He skip generations? Did He only speak to our grandparents and then skip a couple generations that will begin to speak again? No. Comprehend that God is alive in every generation, and He speaks to every generation. I'm so thankful for that. But where I want to concentrate our time and for the next couple of moments that we have this evening is this one really small, hold on, one small aspect of God, and yet it is major in dealing with who He is. It is understanding God, yes, but it's understanding the eternality of God. It is understanding God's eternity. In our English language, eternal means perpetual. What eternal means is endless. It is ceaseless. That means this. When we talk about God's eternity, hold on, watch. There is no beginning and there is no end. In verse number 6 here of this passage of Scripture, we find the end of our finite life, you and I. And what we begin then is eternity. We use this passage of Scripture, Pastor Fitzgerald, often in funerals. And Pastor Dan, we've used it, and you and I have taken turns using this passage of Scripture. And we use Psalm 23, talking about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And it's a great encouragement, especially in a funeral. But here what we find in verse number 6 is the Bible says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, watch the wording here, forever. Between the pardon of the cross in Psalm chapter 22 and the pronouncement of His coming in the next chapter of Psalm chapter 24 is the promise of His eternal care in Psalm chapter number 23. That means you and I, if you haven't figured it out by now, you and I, we are not here for long. We find happiness in knowing that heaven is coming, but we also find happiness in living for our Savior and having His salvation here on this earth. And we know that one day, all of us have this in common, watch now, is that you and I are either going to die, and or you and I are going to hear the trump sound, and we're going to be called up together in the sky. How many would rather have the latter? Would you say amen? If you say amen, you're like, nah, I'd just rather die. Well, oh, man, you just, there's a church down the street. No, I'm just kidding. I'm ready to hear the trumpet sound. I don't know about you, but I want to go up all together. My entire family saved, all five of our kids. Man, they've been saved and baptized. My wife and I, if the trump sounds, we get to all go up together. What a day that will be. But we know that whether we die or whether the Lord comes, in any case, that is when eternity is going to begin for you and when eternity is going to begin for me. Now, eternity, when we talk about this subject, is really beyond our comprehension. You and I cannot, in our finite minds, really comprehend forever. I want you to think of 1,000 years, 100,000 years. You can't. And then we start talking about 1 million, 100 million, 100 billion. 500 billion. Let's go to trillions of years. You and I, we think out that long, we can't. Well, when you and I begin to think about a beginning, what do we usually do? We usually, when we think about the beginning of time, we automatically begin at Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. That's kind of where our minds begin to go. We can't fully comprehend this eternity. To fathom the endless, boundless eternity of time past and future, you and I really cannot be, it's beyond our reasoning, let's just put it that way. But one of the devices, this is why we're going to tune into this, because one of the devices that Satan is beginning to really develop throughout not just the lost world, but even in Christianity today, is that Satan has begun in the minds of even Christians, is really this thought or development of science. You see, we've heard a lot about science even in the last year and a half, 2 years, when it comes to this pandemic and COVID-19. Well, science says that what we begin to comprehend is that science is always moving. Science is always changing. But what science is beginning to do, especially with a new Christian, is it does not recognize the concept of eternity. It does not recognize that God has always existed, or that there has always been time. Man-made science speculates and sets forth the beginning of the universe, watch very carefully, at the Big Bang Theory. Now, comprehend, a theory is an unproven hypothesis. The Big Bang Theory is what we think, or what science says is how all of this came into existence. And if you go to any type of children's museum in this area, Brother McCrony, I know you've seen it, and you teach science, you've seen it all over. Well, the Earth is 100 billion years old, or trillion years, or give a couple, 1.2 billion years. Like, we have no idea. But we speculate that Big Bang, and then this happened, and all of a sudden, we've all seen all the way through this, these hyperboles, it comes all the way through of a monkey, and then humans, and then we get to where we are at today. Now, comprehend that the Big Bang Theory goes absolutely contrary to what the Word of God says. Do you believe that? Tell me, say amen. But I'm telling you, friend, this evening, I think at times we take for granted what you and I have been taught in our fundamental churches over the last 70 years. And now we've come to a place that we could go around the room tonight, Mrs. Harvey, Ms. McCrony, Brother Schellenberg, and all of our teachers that I look around this evening, our teachers that are here tonight. We are beginning to see an influx of those public school kids that are coming into the Christian school realm, the private school realm. And I'm here to tell you, we have an absolute mess on our hands. And so what we begin to do with discipleship is we have to begin to break down. Hold on, listen now. No moving fast. I'm not moving around. It's Wednesday night. You say, move around, Pastor. We're falling asleep. Okay, I don't know what else to do. Gary, turn me up in the back. But just tune in for a moment. We have to break down and we have to come to a foundation. Hold on. We have to come to a foundation of who God is. If we're understanding God, we have to comprehend first, you ready for this? That God is an eternal God. He's eternal. Well, how do you know? Well, I wasn't there. Well, then how do we know he's eternal? Well, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, it says, now unto the King, check it out, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. One of the most profound verses in the Bible is found in Psalm chapter 90. The Bible says this, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from, check it out, everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You see, the Bible declares that there is no chance of succession with our God. There has been none before him, watch, and there'll be none after him. There is only but one eternal God. There are others that have proclaimed to be God, little g, but comprehend tonight the God of Abraham and Isaac, the God that you and I serve, the God of this Bible is singular. There is no other God. It doesn't matter what Dr. Phil says. It doesn't matter what the TV shows of today of history and National Geographic. It does not matter what either other religions say. Comprehend this. There is but one God, and our God of the Bible is eternal. If this makes sense, would you say amen tonight? Comprehend that he is both infinite and infinitely the same. He is immortal and he is immutable. In this verse we find here, it says, thou art God. That means this, it is from infinity past to infinity future. There is no beginning, there is no end, and comprehend this, there is no interruption. He is and has always existed. Go to John chapter 3 and verse number 16 and you'll begin to comprehend. He not only has life, but he declares that he is life. You say, Pastor, why is the importance of an eternal God important? Now here's why. Now I'm going to hit it and we're going to get in and then we got to have a quick business meeting. But here's what we're going to do. Now watch very carefully. The reason this is so vitally important in speaking to somebody one-on-one discipleship, you're explaining, well, I hope Pastor you're there. I'm not, but you have something way better than Pastor there helping you with somebody. You have the very Word of God that has never been wrong, and you have the Holy Spirit guiding you. What else do you need? Nothing. You got it all. We got it all right there. That's all we need. This is important to talk about in understanding God, that he is eternal, is because what Satan begins to do is in a very subtle way, he will begin to break this down. It's very subtle and it's little. But I'm here to tell you, it will send millions to hell. Well, God has always this. I mean, somebody had to create him. Wrong. See, what Satan does is he begins to get in. Now, you say, Pastor, you don't believe in science? Of course I do. I took science all growing up. Do we believe in science? Without a doubt. But comprehend, if science goes against the Word of God, let God be true and every man a liar. It's what the Bible says. This is, you're visiting God. You say, well, this pastor, boy, he's really got a hobby horse. Yeah, okay, fine. My hobby horse is the Bible because it's always right. And I love it and it's incredible. But what you and I have to be careful of today is the outside world sneaking in. And the way that it is sneaking in is just little things here and there. Genesis chapter 3. Yea, hath God said. I mean, is it really a big deal? Do we really care if he has always existed or if he's always going to exist? Absolutely, it matters because it's the very Word of God. Watch very carefully. Listen to this. Watch now. If God were not eternal, then he could not be immutable in his nature. Therefore, if he's not immutable in his nature, then God could not be trusted. Immutable, what does that mean? That means this, God, hold on, is unable to change. For I am God, I change not. Hold on, you change, and I change, but he never changes. You change, I change, people change, culture changes, styles change, but this Bible, it never changes. That means this, however old, from Eagledale all the way through. The same God that and same Bible that Pastor Defoe Sr. used, and Pastor Defoe, which is here this evening, and then Pastor Arrowood and now Pastor Shepherd, comprehend. Through all of those days, we've seen a lot of change, Pastor Defoe, have we not? From, I think you probably used to preach and print out your sermons, or used to write out your sermons, and you go before that, and whatever the case might have been. And tonight, I use digital notes, and we've seen all kinds of changes, from cell phones to computers to automobiles to now electric cars to the way we fly, the way we do business, the way, I mean, I think back in your generation, you used to use, I think it was called cash. Is that what it's called? We don't really remember that anymore now, but it's totally different now. It's credit cards. And it's okay, hold on. A lot of things have changed, but let me tell you, Jesus Christ has never changed. He's always the same. If God were not eternal, he could not be infinitely perfect. Now, understand, this being that God is perfect. Therefore, he could not expect nor could give perfection. God said he is a thrice holy God. That means this, God is a perfect God. Well, God sure made a mistake. Wrong, friend, he's never made a mistake. We were sure off in his timing. His timing is always right. If God were not eternal, he could not be infinitely perfect. But watch this. If God were not eternal, he could not be omnipotent. He could not be omnipotent. Therefore, he could not, watch now, you and I could not depend on him in every circumstance of life. Now, Brother Fisher, Brother Fulford, comprehend this. Watch this. Brother Having in the back. Do you and I comprehend that it does not matter what you and I go through, we can always rely on a perfect Savior? Yeah, but what I'm going through is huge. What I'm going through is cancer. What I'm going through is some people have COVID. What I'm going through is bankruptcy. What I'm going through, hold on. Do you comprehend that the eternal God that you and I believe in, he has unlimited power? Does anybody believe that tonight? See, that ought to put a smile on our face. Because all of a sudden now our circumstances has totally changed. Everything that you and I are down about tonight, everything that you worried about coming into the auditorium, every person that we were mad at today, every circumstance that got us down, not a bad day, but a bad 5 minutes. All of a sudden, when you and I begin to really believe that we have an eternal God, then we really begin to comprehend that he has unlimited power and resources, and you and I are a child of that King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Eternal, watch. If God were not eternal, God would not be the first cause of all. Therefore, there are some things that he could not have done. You see, if you and I begin to believe, to be honest with you, I don't know if he's always been there, then you and I are going to begin to tear down creation. You and I, everything that the Word of God is built upon, what's that? It's upon God, and it's upon His Son, and it's upon the Trinity, and it's upon the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If God is not eternal, you see how this, all of a sudden, everything that you and I believe from the Bible, it is completely washed away. If God were not eternal, then the question of the infidel would be, who or what made God? And that question, without an eternal God, would be a very valid question. But no one and nothing created God, because he has always existed. And so therefore, when you and I begin to explain to someone an eternal God, what you and I have is a foundation of faith. And that faith, now watch, is based upon what we learned last week. It's based upon the very Word of God. Comprehend, it's a great apologist today that begins to take us through, and Lord willing, we're going to have him here this next year. And man, I heard him give a lecture about everything that you and I believe in, everything. God, Jesus, the cross, the gospel. It's all based upon what? It's based upon the Bible. You take away the Bible, and what are we? We're a cult. We're nothing. We have nothing. But put on a smile on your face tonight and realize what you and I have is real and it's alive and has always existed. And His name is Jesus Christ. You see, because of an eternal God, what you and I have is an eternal heaven. You see, when you bring somebody through the Word of God, you begin to bring this foundation of God. And when you're going with somebody, you don't have to maybe dig as deep as this, but it's really good for us to have a refresher that we have an eternal God, and because of that, we have an eternal heaven. Now watch how this matches. You see, heaven is a place of permanence. Paul said it like this: "For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle," watch now, "were dissolved. We have a building of God, an house not made of hands," watch what it says, "eternal in the heavens." This verse speaks of eternal body that will one day replace the temporal body that you and I have. It's eternal in heaven. Heaven has always been and it always will be. Nothing can destroy heaven. It is a place of permanence. But this heaven, because of an eternal God, is also a place of perfection. Revelation chapter 21, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It's perfect in beauty, it's perfect in wonder, it's perfect in its aspect. It's absolutely the perfectly perfect as the only wise, all-knowing, perfect God can make it." That means that no sin can corrupt this pure place called heaven. You and I will find no imperfections there. I love that you and I, this is where we are going to spend. Check it out. All of eternity is in a place, check it out, that is absolutely perfect. Does anybody ever have any problems at their house? Anything ever break down? Anybody with me? Can you raise your hand? Grass grows, weeds grow, trim pops out. We built a house last year. Let me tell you something. Around here, when the ground settles, it is truly amazing how many nail holes begin to pop out. And you got nail holes popping out, and you got a dog that scratched the floor. And okay, we are, even if you just built a house, and some of you in this room, you're building a house. Can I just tell you something? Give it about a year or two, and you're going to want to change some things about your house. Our home in heaven, we don't want to change anything. This world's not our home. A place of perfection, but heaven is a place of peacefulness. Revelation says, "And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." No more problems, sickness, death, sin, anything that will upset. Isn't this amazing? There will be, you will never use the word, you ready for this, annoying in heaven. Anything ever annoy you? If you say pastor right now, I'm just telling you, whatever it is, there's be no annoyance there. Noise, sounds, things we don't like. It's just, ours will be an eternity completely without any problems. And it'll be peace forevermore. You see, because of an eternal God, we have an eternal heaven. And heaven is a place of promise. The Bible says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Watch very carefully. "I go to prepare a place for you." Now, we get caught up on the prepare, but I want us to realize that for a moment, the Bible says, "In my Father's house are," not "were," not "will be," but "are," "many mansions." Comprehend this evening that you and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Since the Lord Jesus is there, it's going to be a precious place. Since it's His Father's house, it will be absolutely perfect. Heaven is called a lot of things. Heaven is called heaven. Some call it paradise. Some call it dreaming. But you and I as Christians are going to call it home. And that's where we'll spend all of eternity, because of an eternal God. Understanding Him, one very small aspect, but oh, how faith is built upon it.